colors of Christmas. Such an exciting time of year. Last week, we introduced this sermon series with a message called A Green Christmas, and we talked about the importance of the color green throughout Scripture, but it even became a symbol in the evergreen trees of God's enduring life and growth. But we did learn that over and over again, man was planted originally in the garden and then in the promised land to grow and to experience life with God. But sin cut us away from God and separated us from Him. And this happened time and again in the Old Testament. It continues today. But we're told by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. And we talked about that being a prophecy of the coming of Jesus the Messiah. And so the Green Christmas was all about life and about growth. But as you can tell, we've changed our color a little bit today. And today's message is called A Blue Christmas. Now, when most of us hear that term, A Blue Christmas, we think of one guy.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. You'll be doing all right.
And of course, he was blue because he was not going to be with the one that he loved. And so we think about that in the spirit of a relationship. But I want to tell you that Elvis wasn't the first one to experience a blue Christmas. And this morning, I want us to talk about the original blue Christmas. And so I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 771. And we're going to take a look and see what made the original Christmas so blue. There are two writings in the New Testament about the birth of Jesus, one in Matthew told from Joseph's perspective, and the other in Luke told from Mary's perspective. In the Matthew's Gospel, starting in verse 18, Matthew records this. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Now, the other side of this story is in Luke. If you turn over to Luke chapter 2, this is on page 821 in your chair Bibles, and we'll look at verses 1 to 6 to see the rest of this story. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1, he records it this way. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. So I'd like you to consider, while we look on the Christmas story in a very nostalgic way, and we have beautiful nativity scenes, that was probably not the first thought in Joseph's mind. I want you to consider the fact that this first blue Christmas started when Joseph learns that Mary is pregnant before they're married. Oh no! What a horrible discovery! And he's thinking he needs to get out of this engagement, this betrothal. Further than that, he learns because the government ordered a census, he's got to take this pregnant woman with him to Bethlehem. Then he learns when they get there, there's no place for them to stay. You know, they didn't have an 800 number at the inn. There was no hotels.com or Expedia or Priceline. And then, if that wasn't enough, as soon as he finds out there's no place for him to stay, Joseph learns the baby's coming. Now! Joseph was not having a really good Christmas. And I'd like to suggest it was very blue. Now again, they didn't have the modern conveniences that we have today, but I wonder what the Christmas story would have looked like if there was social media. maybe it could have happened that way. But what started out as a very blue Christmas changed the course of history. But you know, if you put yourself in the place of Mary and Joseph and think about how they didn't really understand how everything was going to work out and have an ending that God had planned, the same thing is true for many people today. There are many people today who experience a blue Christmas. We say it's a season of joy and we want to encourage people with wishes of Merry Christmas. But for some people, Christmas is going to be different this year. It could be because of broken relationships. Sometimes this happens through divorce or a family argument or something that separates members of a family, and it causes people to hurt deeply. Some of you know that pain. Sometimes it might come because of a financial trouble or setback. Maybe somebody loses a job, or there's a catastrophic fire or a car accident, and it causes financial trouble. And again, that can make the Christmas time very blue. For some people, it might be a traumatic memory. Maybe something happened many years ago around this time of year. And every time the season comes around, that memory gets triggered and it creates a blue Christmas. Sometimes it could be the loss of a loved one in the realization that I won't be able to share this season with the one that I love. Sometimes it might be because of a sickness or an illness. Some people get a diagnosis that they don't want to hear. For some people, it could be just loneliness. Sometimes people can be surrounded with others, but because of some of these circumstances in their lives, they are lonely in the midst of a crowd. But I do want you to know that the Lord has a prescription for a blue Christmas. I'd like you to consider these thoughts. In the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says, "A new command I give you." And I love these verses because they're part of the theme verses of our church family. Look what this new command is. Love one another. He said, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all men will know you're my disciples if you love one another." Notice it doesn't say, "All men will know you're my disciples if you can quote everything in this book." It's not about knowledge, although that's important. It's about applying that knowledge by loving others. John recorded these words of Jesus, but we see this as a thread woven through the New Testament. In Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 13, the Apostle Paul says, "Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality." This, again, is part of the Holy Spirit encouraging us to do exactly what Jesus commanded us to do, to love each other, really, genuinely, thoroughly. In fact, even the Apostle Peter got in on the action in his first letter, chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. Look what he says. "Continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another." Now, most of us like to receive gifts, but to know that God has given you a spiritual gift is pretty cool. But the spiritual gift isn't just to be used for you. It's not something that you even need to be proud of or boastful of. But Peter says that you should use your spiritual gifts, not for yourselves, but to serve one another. The only way you can do that is by being part of a church family, so you have others to continue to show that deep love to. The writer of the Hebrew letter says it this way in chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. "Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Remember those in prison as if you were there yourself, and remember also those being mistreated as if you felt their pain in your own bodies. So we see this consistent message throughout the New Testament that the distinctive difference between people who follow Jesus and those who don't is followers of Jesus show this deep love for one another. But you know, you might be here this morning and you might say, well, David, that's all well and good, but what if you're the one that's having the blue Christmas? What do you do then? And you may be here today and this message may have touched your heart and your life and you realized, hey, this may be a blue Christmas for me. What do I do? Well, Paul had some advice. He wrote to the church in Corinth, and he talked about some people who were having, not necessarily a blue Christmas, but they were having a difficult time in their lives. And he gave a prescription for them, and he showed how it was working. Look what he said in 2 Corinthians 8, 1-5. He says, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. Things were not going well for the believers there. But look what happened. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which is overflowed in rich generosity. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about happiness is based on my outward circumstances. So I'm happy when things are going well. When things are not going well, when I'm being tested by troubles, when I don't have all that I need, it's really easy to then be blue about your circumstances. But joy is an attitude of the heart. It's a decision. It's a choice that you make, and your circumstances cannot affect your joy. You're not always happy for everything that happens, but you can find the joy of the Lord in the midst of what happens because He is with us. So let's look about how this abundant joy overflowed in rich generosity. He says, for I can testify, they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. In the midst of their trials and poverty, there was a collection being taken for the Christians that were being persecuted in Jerusalem, and these people, out of their poverty, wanted to give. He goes on to say, they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They did even more than we'd hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord, just as God wanted them to do. So I think what we can learn from this, even though this isn't part of the Christmas story, is if you're having a blue season in your life, one of the strange things about the economy of God is that if you give to others anyway, you receive a blessing back. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. But I do know it's real because I've experienced it in my life, and maybe you've seen it in your life too. It actually reflects a teaching of Jesus that you won't find in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But it must have been a very prevalent teaching because the Apostle Paul heard about it, and in his farewell speech to the elders at Ephesus, recorded in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, he reminds the leaders of the church of Ephesus this, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus, and then it's in quotes, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, it's hard to understand that when you're little, right? Christmas is all about, oh boy, I'm going to get a bunch of stuff. But as you get older, you start learning it's not so much about what we can get as much as what we can give. And in the economy of God, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So if you're having a blue Christmas, I want to encourage you to remember that. But for all of us, a blue Christmas is all about loving others because of the love Christ has given us. That's the power behind our ability to love others. This whole concept of the spirit of giving is seen in a classic Christmas story from Charles Dickens, where we meet a curmudgeon-y old guy named Scrooge, and it's Christmas season, and bah, humbug! And he doesn't like it, and he's going to make Bob Cratchit keep working, doesn't want to give him the day off. He's miserly, he's selfish, and he just wants everything for him. You know the story, so I won't belabor the point, but he gets visited, according to this story, by three spirits of Christmas, and he has a spiritual awakening. And the next morning when he wakes up and discovers it was merely a dream, but it was a dream that impacted him, and he repented of his ways. He turned his life around and he discovered there was more joy in giving than there was from his miserly way of being selfish. And that's what Jesus wants us to understand. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And for those who are having a blue Christmas this year, it's especially important for the rest of us to remember. So my challenge for you today is simply this. Make intentional plans to love someone who may be having a blue Christmas this year. Keep your eyes open, watch, and listen, and see who the Lord may be laying on your heart, someone that you might be a blessing to. You might do this by just spending time with them, or maybe sharing meals. There's something special that happens when we sit around a table and share a meal together. But you know, a couple of the scriptures we read today talked about being hospitable, and maybe if someone is kind of having that blue time, maybe an invitation into your home would be a real blessing for them. But I want to challenge you to make intentional plans to put your faith into practice and love someone who may be having a blue Christmas this year. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, we thank you for the example that we see that the very first Christmas wasn't very perfect at all. And although we like to characterize it as such, there was a lot of tension, there was a lot of trouble, there was a lot of uncertainty. And especially for that young couple as they journeyed so far from home for the census and no place to stay. And the King of Kings was not born in the palace, but in a place where animals were kept. Father, you've blessed us in ways beyond measure, and we live in homes that are much better than the place where Jesus was born. And Lord, many of us do have struggles and trials, difficulties, just like the people in Macedonia did. And yet you were with them and you will be with us too. But help us to be the church that is known for fulfilling the command of Jesus that we love one another. Help us during this season that we want to celebrate joy, to bring that joy to someone who needs it. And help us do this as our Christmas offering to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song.